So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. Hey, cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's freaking do this.
Do what?
Let's do Wild Card Weekend.
Let's go,
Let's
Mark.
Let's do Wild Card Weekend. We are here. And Friday feels. Remember earlier this week when you came to the show on Wednesday and you rubbed your hands together and you went, ooh, it's Greg Cosell Day on Willard and Dibs. I'm going to get the X's and O's of this matchup. And then 3 o'clock rolled around. You're like, where's Greg Cosell? And then your boys, Willie and Dibby, were like, no, special Cosell this week.
Yep.
We're going to push it closer and closer to the actual game so we can get as much info as possible. Well, that means today's your day, and in 15 minutes, Greg Cosell, NFL Films, to break down the X's and the O's of this matchup like nobody else can.
And if you watch on YouTube, and I know you will, you're going to see him waist deep in film.
Right.
Because by Friday, he's watched everything 17 times, and he's watched it all. So if you want to get the real breakdown of
possibly
of the film, you would be wrong. If you want to see the Greg Cosell film breakdown, he's going to be so yacked in.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
And he'll give his famous Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock.
Well, it's become very famous, and although I think he's coming off an L, isn't he?
Yeah, maybe.
I think he said the Niners were going to be the Seahawks, but anyway. So he's going to start a new winning streak. Dibs, you're on an epic losing streak. You've got 5 picks to make in this game, in this show.
Five
picks, right?
The picks are in.
Right, we can do Mondays on Monday, but you got 5 playoff games to pick.
Ooh.
So we've got that. We've got a higher or lower. Grandy is here, sort of. Like, physically, he's here, but look at him. He's already, like, you know how when people inflate their cheeks, they do that?
Yep.
He's doing that. The show hasn't even started yet. He's freaking out in the other room because Oregon will play later today. So we got all that going on. And then here was the phrase that pops into my head as I'm listening. One of the beautiful things about us doing 2-6 is I think we get an opportunity to listen to a lot of you
lay back
right throughout the morning and the early afternoon. Just I think it helps us dip a toe in the water to where you're at. And the more I think, and it's not just our listeners, it's also the guests and the people just calling in, listening to everyone talk about this game. And I have decided that one phrase over everything else has completely overtaken the analysis of this matchup. And the phrase is recency bias. And it has me actually feeling maybe a little bit more optimistic today.
And tell the people what that means.
Okay, so I think that the Niners do have a very difficult assignment this weekend. There's no escaping that. But what recency bias in this particular case means is you're taking what happened last Saturday, and last Saturday alone, as the overwhelming only thing with which you are using to analyze this matchup. The Eagles played last weekend, but not really, because they sat a bunch of their people,
right.
And so that's a wipe away. The 49ers played the one seed in the NFC. They had a very hard time scoring the football against a team I think is actually a really bad matchup for them, but whatever. And all the people they were missing, and whatever, we're not going to do that today. but you're taking last Saturday as overwhelming gospel in terms of who the 49ers are and what they will look like on Sunday. And I think that's a mistake.
It can be. It also could be very telling for who they've been all year. And if you want to look at all the defenses they faced and the best defenses, Seattle number one in points allowed, and you had a really hard time scoring against them both times. Yep. You got one win. Houston's number two, and you went and played Houston on the road, and you scored 15 points. And I think that was a Mac Jones special.
It was.
But still, I mean, I don't think that you had Kittle back yet either.
You did not.
Your offense, you had Trent. And you may not have Trent this weekend. You should. I'm sure he's going to fly, but you never know. And then you look at the other games you've played, and the teams you've played that are good defenses, Jacksonville, number eight in points allowed. You struggled. You lost. So it's more for me than just recency bias. Yeah, Seattle, 3 points. That's not good. And it has everyone thinking, oh boy, the offense needs to put up 30 to win, and they couldn't even get a touchdown at home against Seattle. So yeah, the recency bias part of that I get. But for me, the overarching issue is that when you played good defenses, you really struggled, as everyone does.
Well, even that feels like small sample size, Steve. I mean, like, sure, you had a hard time scoring 20 points against Seattle in two games, but one of them feels like it was a lifetime ago. So opening week was like, wow, these teams were all different then. Seattle was different then. We know the Niners were different. They had Nick Bosa and Fred Warner in that football game. So there's
and George Kittle.
Right.
For a
half.
But he was awesome early.
Even the Houston game. Yes, it was a Mac Jones game. That was before Halloween. And then how many of the other quote-unquote top defenses have they faced? I don't even know. Like, Jacksonville is a pretty good defense.
In scoring, they're number eight.
Yeah, the Rams are at times and in ways a pretty good defense, right? Where are they ranking?
Number 10.
Okay.
In points allowed.
Right, but you actually scored the ball pretty well against the Rams. I think you moved the ball well against the Jags. You had the unfortunate fumble there in the fourth quarter by Brock Purdy. You played Cleveland. Cleveland is a good defense.
Yep.
And where are they ranking?
In points, they are 19th.
Okay.
But if you want to look at yards per play, which I think is
more accurate,
you know, when you throw a pick six, that ultimately is points allowed on your defense. But in yards per play, they're tied for fourth.
Okay.
With Houston.
And I'm not saying you cut them up, but you beat them pretty good, and you scored 26 points in the game.
Yeah.
And you won by double digits. So I think there are a lot of different answers, and I'm a firm believer in that coach's phrase that they always use. It's a week-to-week league.
Yeah.
And so this stuff looks different every week, and styles do make fights, and they spend all week grinding on matchups and looking at which players, where can they gain an advantage on the field. And so I'm not sitting here telling you that the Niner offense that we saw against the Bears is suddenly going to re-show up this weekend. But I also don't think the offense that we saw against the Seahawks is necessarily going to re-show up again. I think that when I listen to analysis of this football game, it sounds to me largely like people simply think last Saturday's Niners will show up, and how does that team win? And I just don't know that that's accurate at all.
They don't win is the answer. Like, if you score 3 points, you don't win.
Well, no, I don't
but
mean
I
just the
saying.
Results. I mean that, because that offense also, Christian had the ball at the one and he kicked it.
Whatever. If you want to look at the last two games, that to me becomes the more interesting thing on recency bias. So against Chicago, a lesser defense, you were amazing.
Couldn't be stopped.
And yeah, you punted twice and you scored 6 touchdowns. And if it wasn't for a pick six that your guy threw,
yep,
then you probably win that by double digits. The offense was humming. Then you face Seattle 6 days later and your offense is not humming. So are you the Chicago offense, the Seattle offense, or somewhere in between? The answer is somewhere in between.
I would think.
But where in between? Are you in that 24-27 in between, or are you the 17-20 in between?
And it's not just a matter of, like, the points you score.
No, you're right. It's about how much you have the ball.
Well, it's do you have the lead? Are you coming from behind? It's about those little matchups, right? I think the middle of the field in this particular matchup is going to be important. The Eagles have really good, especially Quinyon Mitchell. They've got good corners. And the Niners always worry about the time that Brock Purdy has. I don't think this is a, hey, shotgun, look left, look right, go deep. Oh, wait, you're not even, like, they don't have speed receivers. I don't think Ricky's going to play. But the middle of the field, George, Christian, Juwan, I think you can make some money there. I think you can keep the, like, one of the reasons it was 13-3 is not because all the offenses sucked, but that game was over in 2.5 hours. Seattle runs the ball. You keep the clock moving. The Niners only had it for 20 minutes. That's the stuff. Stylistically, I want to know how this unfolds, and I feel like we're kind of going to war thinking automatically that it will look exactly like it did last Saturday, and I'm pretty sure it won't.
It won't, and I just wonder about the Philly defense, and we'll ask Greg Cosell that here in about 8 minutes about what they do. Is it similar to Seattle? Because what Seattle did was rush 4, we cover with 7, and even when you complete it, we're going to be there and we will tackle you. So is Philly more like that, or are they a defense that is more susceptible based on the scheme they play and what the Niners like to do?
So we really want to hear from you today. Do you think recency bias has overtaken our brains as we get ready for this matchup? Let's talk it out. 888-957-9570. Be patient, because Greg Cosell of NFL Films is joining us next. There is no better in-depth X's and O's breakdown of any matchup than this. So you're going to want to hear this. That's next. Then we'll take your calls. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? And very quickly, Dub Nation, let's get engaged. Before every game, we got the engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. It's brought to you by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler, where you find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCoe.com today. You know the rumors, Kuminga, Malik Monk, blah, 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 the Kings are in town. So head to 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. And here's our question. Reports say Malik Monk is a non-starter in trade talks for the Warriors. What do you think? Does Monk interest you, Warrior fans? Yes or no? Vote. We'll share the results at the end of the show. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, is next on Willard and Dibs.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Work on your material.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Man, we've been waiting for this.
All week.
And we had to wait longer than usual.
And I hate that.
Greg Cosell, you're about to talk to a thirsty bunch, all right? Everybody is waiting for your words on Eagles, Niners, River Islands guest line. Let's not waste any time. NFL Films, the best.
I'm actually surprised you guys are there, because I thought you might be playing linebacker this week for the Niners.
I love it, Greg. That's very good material. And luckily, we're not. But I don't know if we know who is.
I'm heavy enough, but not quite strong enough, sadly.
Well, I think, I mean, it appears that in their nickel, it appears it'll be Kendricks and Wallow to start. We'll see what happens, I guess, after that.
I mean, can we start there? Kendricks and Wallow. Like, what have you seen from them on tape? And can you share anything that feels optimistic to a Niner fan about what they can do?
You know, that's a hard question. I mean, Kendricks played in the league a long time. I don't think he played poorly last week when he had to play meaningful snaps. Wallow played as well. You know, it's funny. I forget what year Wallow came out, but I did him when he came out of college. you know, it's look, you're down to, in a sense, street free agents. And, you know, sometimes that happens at this time of year, and you got to make do. I would imagine they'll play as they did in the second half last week. I imagine they'll play a lot of big nickel, and they'll play Pinnick as their third safety, which is, as I said, what they've done, you know, at times this year, and certainly last week once the injury started to pile up at linebacker. But, you know, you're playing with guys who are not your starters. They're street free agents. You know, what I don't know is I don't know if that means that Robert Saleh has to simplify things. And, you know, these are the things we're not in their meeting, so we don't know. But obviously it's not an ideal situation.
And when you go to that that package where they go big nickel, how does that affect what Philadelphia does? Do the Niners have the ability to cover, especially Dallas Goedert and others, when you know the Eagles look to throw against that package?
Well, normally when they play big nickel, Pinnick is a second-level defender, and their tendency, I think, when they play big nickel is to then play Mustafa and Brown on the back end, and Pinnick is at the second level. You know, the Eagles are an odd team because they're not a true passing team. So it's kind of an odd situation, because normally, and again, you never know in the playoffs. And by the way, the wind gusts on Sunday in Philadelphia are supposed to be 40 miles an hour. So we'll see if the pass game is even a big deal. I would bet, again, you never know until games are played. So this is just analyzing based on what we have now. But I would think that the Eagles, even though they've not run well this year, would believe that they could run the ball against the Niners. I think they'll believe they can attack the edges. The Seahawks attacked the edges pretty well in that final regular season game. And I would think the Eagles, because they're a run-first team, even though they have not been anywhere near as successful this year running the ball as they were a year ago, they're a run-first team.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. All right, before we look too far into the future and Eagles Niners, I would love to get some of your thoughts on what happened last Saturday. Why did the Niners only score 3 points? What happened when they had the ball?
Well, it's funny. Obviously, because it was the only game on, I watched it live. You know, it wasn't like a red zone deal. As soon as Seattle got the ball first and started driving, the whole feeling to me of the game changed, because the Niners are a pace and tempo offense. They're not a big play offense in the sense that they push the ball down the field in the pass game. They're a sustaining, controlling offense. And that game, to me, watching it live, felt like it was getting away from them pretty much right from the start. And then when they had the first three and out, and then Seattle marched right back down again, all of a sudden you're in the second quarter, and the Niners never seem to be able to develop any pace and tempo for the game. They can't play like that. That's not who they are. They need to be able to control the way the game is played with their offense doing that. And so, you know, it was an odd game in that regard. There was just never any sense that their offense was had any control over the way the game was being played.
So if they want to do pace and tempo against Philadelphia, looking at the Eagles' defense against the run, as I know you've watched a majority of their snaps all year, how does that match up? Can the Niners do better against Philly on the ground than they did against Seattle?
Well, Philly's got a really good defense, too. I mean, their D-tackle rotation is really good. Jordan Davis has had his best season by far. He's become a dominant run defender. Ojomo plays meaningful snaps. N'Kobe Dean's going to be back for this game. He's a full participant in practice. So the Eagles are a very, very good defense. I think over the last 8 or 9 weeks, they might be the number one scoring defense in the league. This is not an easy assignment. I mean, you know, it just, you have to talk about it the way it is based on the film. I mean, the Eagles are a very, very good defense. You know, the question is, will the Eagles play in their base defense versus the 21 personnel, or will they play more nickel because maybe they like DeGene closer to the line of scrimmage because he's a very tough physical run defender as well as a slot corner. So that's really the question for the Eagles, but their defense has played exceptionally well over the last 2 months.
Greg, let's see if we can zero in on part of the defense. Like, let's just talk about the way they stopped the run. I'm thinking of the Black Friday game. Chicago ran the ball all over them. Is there an opportunity there for the Niners? And part of that, like, let's assume Trent Williams played. You know, how much does that change what we saw last week to this week, particularly in the run game?
Well, that's a great game to bring up, and I'll tell you why. Because what I thought that the Bears did exceptionally well in that game was with the use of formations and motion. And we know that that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan is all about. It would not surprise me at all if they looked heavily at that game and how they used motion to change the run support of the Eagles' defense. Because they're, again, that was an aberration for the Eagles, but still, you have to look at tape. Tape does not lie. You know, you don't write it off. You look at the tape and you see what a team did. And I thought the Bears did a phenomenal job with pre-snap movement, creating changes in run support, creating angles, creating numbers advantages for the Bears run game. So they'll look at that in detail, I imagine, and see how they can extrapolate some of that to what they do.
And how much of that in that game was built on what you talked about before, Greg, which was the rhythm of the offense? So Chicago had it going early. They had it going in the middle, and they kept it rolling. How important is that for Shanahan to be able to establish that?
That's a big deal because, like I said, the Niners, look, we know they're a running football team. That's the way they need their offense to work, and then they work off that. And when you play like that, there's a rhythmic feel that must be developed because you're not an offense where you're lining up saying, hey, let's call a big play and hit a 60-yarder. That's not the way you're playing. You're playing to have a sustaining feel to your offense, a rhythmic sustaining feel. And in order to do that, you've got to run plays. So it's, you know, this is not a profound statement, obviously, but first down becomes absolutely critical because the Niners aren't, you know, I know they've been great on third down since Purdy's been back, but I think at their core, they're not necessarily a get-behind-the-chains offense. Now, they've been very good on third down. So, you know, people listening might say, I don't know what I'm talking about. But at the end of the day, I think their offense is built on the fact that they can sustain, that they can stay on schedule and sustain.
Greg, let's pick this apart a little bit. Can you help our audience understand why the Eagles – have not been able to run the ball nearly as well this year as they did last year.
Well, I'm going to give you one stat just before I answer that.
Last year,
think about this. It's going to blow you away.
Okay.
Last year, in the second half of all the games, okay, so that means they played 17 games. In the second half, Barkley had 322 rushes for 1,763 yards.
Whoa.
That was just in the second half. You know what his numbers are in the second half this season?
Go for it.
136 for 508.
Woo!
He has 1,250 less yards this year in the second half of games than they did a year ago. Their O-line has not been very good. That's just the reality. They've been a bottom half O-line. Last year, they were arguably the best O-line in the league. And Barkley has always had a little bit of a what's the best way to describe it? Look for the big play approach. In other words, not necessarily get the hard yards, stick it up in there. Like McCaffrey, to me, is the best 30 yards runner in the league. He sticks it up in there. He gets yards. Even if it's not really well blocked, he sticks it up in there and he gets it. Barkley's, even coming out of Penn State, Barkley was not really that guy. So it's been a combination of the O-line not being as good and Barkley is not necessarily that kind of runner.
And yet they get in the red zone, and they're the number one most efficient red zone offense. What do you see, Greg, on tape that makes them so good in the red area?
Two things. Tush push, which, again, to me is not football, but it counts. And then they're very good. They have these – I don't want to call them gimmick plays because in the red zone, it's not gimmicks. It's creativity. They're very creative in the low red zone, very creative.
Okay, so if you're talking
tush
about –
Tush push and gimmicks.
Yeah.
No, I'd say creativity, not gimmicks.
Okay.
So the Eagles' offensive line has been nowhere near as good. The Niners' defensive line, as we know, for all of the reasons, has not been effective either. If you put those two sort of weakened areas together, who has the edge this weekend?
Well, let's put it this way. The Eagles will attempt to run the ball because that's who they are.
Yep.
And I think they'll work the edges because I think that that's been an area that was certainly a problem for the 49ers last week against Seattle. I think the Eagles will attack the edges. I think much of it depends on Lane Johnson. He did practice this week, but it wasn't as if he never practiced with the ones. It's my understanding he's going to give it a go. We'll see if he can truly give it a go. But I think if he's able to do that, I think they'll attack the edges. And I think that's an area that the Niners will really have to try to shore up with their DNs and with their linebackers. I mean, you know, Kendricks and Wallow, at this point, you know, you're not dealing with linebackers that have tremendous speed and lateral range.
and not a lot of experience either. And I know you're not big on criticizing play calling, so I won't ask you to do that. But when you look at the passing game for Philadelphia, it's been great at times. It's been bad at times. What do you attribute to the fact that they've been so inconsistent?
Well, for the most part, they don't really work the middle of the field between the numbers. You know, you have to remember one thing, and coaches always coach to the strengths and limitations of the quarterback. That's the way coaches work, because you can't ask quarterbacks in their mind to do things they're not good at. So Jalen Hurts does not work the middle of the field very well, so there's some limitations to their pass game. And they do work outside the numbers. Hurts can make those throws very well, but it's very difficult to live off vertical throws outside the numbers. They had unbelievable success for a couple of years, but that's a hard way to go. So their pass game's been very inconsistent.
2 years ago, Greg, the 49ers went into Philly in a November game and just completely took them apart. And one thing I remember from that game, and it was obviously a different defensive line, but they did such a good job of not over-pursuing Jalen Hurts. They didn't get a lot of sacks, right, but they didn't over-pursue, right, and they made things hard for him. This group doesn't get sacks, but can they pull the same thing off in Robert Saleh's defense and more kind of contain Jalen and try to make him a passer?
And that's a critical part of the game, because Jalen Hurts will break down and look to run, and he has morale, you know, changing runs. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
Because when it's third and nine and the quarterback runs for 15 yards, that's an issue. So that's something you absolutely have to be aware of. You know, just as on a larger point, I would say this. You're dealing with two of the best coaches at what they do in the game. You're dealing with Fangio, who's a master D coordinator, and Shanahan, who's a master offensive designer and play caller and game planner. So what a lot of these games come down to is what coaches often call unscripted looks, different looks that neither coach is expecting, because it's not on tape. And that's what I think you'll see some of in this game, just in the hope that those unscripted looks can cause a moment of hesitation on either side and create a play that, you know, again, I'm not saying it creates an 80-yard touchdown, but it creates a positive play. And, you know, there won't be 50 unscripted looks, but there'll be some.
Talk to me about Fangio. It seems like he's gotten Kyle's number when they've gone head-to-head, coordinator versus coordinator. What does he try to do? Is it man? Is it zone? Do they blitz? What are we going to expect, Greg?
Well, normally Vic's not a high percentage blitz guy. They play a lot more cover one than people would think, because everybody thinks Fangio plays that quarter shell, which of course they do, and they'll start a lot of plays that way. But they have their corners play a lot of man. And it would not surprise me to see them do that in this game. It appears Ricky Pearsall will not go. The 49ers do not have a true wide receiver that is a one-on-one man beater. So it would not surprise me to see the Eagles play man with their outside corners, squeeze everything in the middle. You know, that's actually what they did in the Super Bowl against Mahomes, and the 49ers like to work the middle of the field. It would not surprise me for a second in this game if they have a template that's similar, where their outside corners match up and play man, and they squeeze everything inside to shut down and close those windows.
Okay, so talk to us about Brock Purdy's ability to handle something like that.
Well, at some point, you're going to have to work outside. Because you can't spend your time trying to throw to two guys or three guys when there's five defenders in the middle of the field. It's just hard. It comes down to can you counter some of what you do and you know, have some routes that break outside? I think Kittle's going to have to be a big factor in the pass game, and I think you're going to have to move him around. I think you're going to have to get him split, which he's capable of doing, and see how the Eagles respond to that. Kyle Shanahan's a lot smarter than I am, guys, so he'll have something, but I don't think you can just line up, and he knows this, and just do the things you always do and just assume that you're going to get the result all the time. It may work sometimes because, obviously, it's situational football, and it depends on down and distance and field location, but I think you're going to have some wrinkles in this game.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films. As always, coming out of last week's game, there's a debate on Purdy because the team only scores 3 points. But outside of the Christian McCaffrey bobble, there's also no turnovers. So, like, what did you see on film, Greg? Did Brock play well? Was there an opportunity to play well? What did you see?
That was a really difficult game for the entire offense. I don't think Purdy as an individual played poorly. It was just one of those games where there was no rhythm at all to what they were doing. They couldn't generate any sustainability. You know, look, you guys know, they're a choreographed offense. They're not a playmaker offense. You know, yeah, can Purdy make, you know, some plays? Sure. But it's not like, you know, when things are bad, he's going to be Josh Allen. You know, they're not that kind of offense. They're an offense that requires rhythm, timing, choreography, and they could never get to that point in that game. And Purdy was just one player within all of that. But, you know, so I don't think he as an individual necessarily played a bad game. It was one of those games, nothing worked.
Yeah, and they got down deep, and McCaffrey had the bobble, and then the interception. I wonder what you thought about McCaffrey as we are now north of 400 touches. Was it just a bad game because there were no holes, or are you seeing maybe a little bit of a slowdown for a guy who's gone over 400?
That's one game. In the prior weeks, prior to that game, he's been averaging 4.5 yards a rush with Purdy and running exceptionally well. So I wouldn't look at that game as you know, that's the issue you face when we get into these conversations week to week about players, which is a pointless conversation to me.
Oh.
But that's, you know, what you know, when you talk on the radio every day and fans listen and want to talk, that's the stuff they say. But, you know, he'd been phenomenal prior to this. You have to almost, and by the way, they're playing a great defense, so they could struggle this week as well. But it's not because Christian McCaffrey in 1 week's time all of a sudden went from being really, really good to losing his ability.
Well, Greg, yeah, can I dig into that a little bit? Because before you came on, we're sitting here talking about recency bias. And the idea that I hear a lot of people analyzing this Niner-Eagle game solely based on what they saw the Niners do last week. What are the chances? Like, compare Seattle and Philly defensively, and what are the chances the Niners struggle to that level again?
There's a good chance they'll struggle. This is a great defense. And, in fact, the defensive tackle position for the Eagles is really, really good. I mean, Carter is playing at a high level. Jordan Davis has had the best season of his career. He's become a dominant run stuffer. Ojomo's playing really well. There are two stacked backers, Bawn and Dean. Dean is back. They're really good players. This is not an easy defense to play against. Could the Niners struggle to run the ball? Without question, they could struggle to run the ball. But that doesn't mean that Christian McCaffrey can't play anymore. You know, this is just a really good defense.
Yeah, no, I understand that. The other thing in looking at last week is the play of the Niners' offensive line. It was obvious that Purdy was under duress for a lot of it. Does Trent potentially kind of change that, or do you think this is a bad matchup for the Niners again in that spot?
Well, I think it's a tough matchup inside. If Trent Williams can play and be Trent Williams, and I guess we don't know the answer to that, it just gives them so many more options in their run game on the perimeter, whereas they don't really have those options with Pleasance there. But inside, it's a tough matchup for the interior three of the 49ers O-line. I mean, that Eagles D-line, those D-tackles are really tough. Look, it's the playoffs. It's a tough matchup.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they can't go in and win, guys. I don't want to make it seem like, oh, they're going to get shut out. Oh. But all I'm saying is, we can't look at this like the players all of a sudden stink. They're playing against a really good team. They just played against a really good defense as well. They may be playing against two of the three best defenses in the league. Put Houston in that category as well. So, you know, it's the playoffs. These things can happen. You know, they're going to have to find a way to move the ball. But if you're looking about mano-on-mano matchups, there's some matchups here that favor Philly.
Okay, so that leads us to the moment we've all been waiting for, which is Greg Cosell's big pick of the week. All right, Greg, Eagles, Niners, what's happening here?
I'm not picking this one, guys.
Why?
you know, it's first of all, I think the weather's going to be a factor.
I think we all know why. Yeah,
the weather's going to be a factor. Okay.
They're talking 40 mile an hour gusts. It's going to be, you know, I would expect this game unless run game is a big factor positively for each team. I would, and turnovers, you never know about turnovers.
Right.
So I never go there because you just never know. I would not see this game as a high-scoring game.
Huh.
I mean, in some ways, I would see this being played out similarly to the last game when they played Seattle. Now, again, I could be dead wrong. Who knows?
Yep.
But, you know, it's going to be hard to really, I think, throw the ball, you know, down the field in this game. So we'll see. But, you know, look, the bottom line is it is hard to win at the Link in January. Can the Niners do so? Yes. But they're going to have to find a way to run the football with some kind of sustainability.
Niners 6.
Bang the under.
Yeah, Niners 6, Eagles 3.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You heard it from Greg. Greg,
yeah.
As always, great stuff, man.
Thanks,
thank you so much.
All right, guys, appreciate it. Thanks.
Greg Cosell, NFL Films, he's the best.
I was hearing more about Eagles 24, Niners 9, based on his answers.
It's a beautiful thing about sports radio. We all just hear whatever the hell we want to hear.
And just bang the under, my friends.
Yeah. All right, we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. 31-28 loading, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. You didn't feel shut down there, did you? You all right?
I'm good.
You sure?
I'm fine.
You sure?
I'm fine. I'm going to work through that. Cosell. I love him.
All right. Okay.
Work on your material.
We're back to the drawing board. All right. Recency bias. Is this overtaking the analysis of this matchup? 888-957-9570. We're going straight to your calls next on Weathered and Dips.